VCY America presents Crosstalk, a nationwide call-in program discussing issues that have an effect on our families, our communities, our churches, our nation, and our world. Crosstalk, an opportunity for you to voice your concerns for biblical principles. And now live by satellite and around the world on the internet at vcyamerica.org. Here is today's Crosstalk.
We do thank you for joining us on Crosstalk today. And friends, we've got a very important topic to bring to your attention here today. Increasingly, America's farmland, and keep in mind that means our food supply, our farmland is coming under attack. You know, whether it's the acquisition of fertile farmland for the carbon capture pipeline, or it's China buying up farmland, or even that of stealing seed samples, or the closure of food processing plants, or the development and promotion of lab-grown meat, or the push to allow companies to inject beef cattle with mRNA vaccines, there is a literal target on our nation's agricultural industry. And this attack on agriculture is necessary because of what we are told is global climate change. We must do it because of this existential threat against our planet. We're going to be addressing these issues today. We welcome back Tom DeWeese, president of American Policy Center, one of the nation's leading advocates of individual liberty, free enterprise, private property rights, personal privacy, back to basics education, and American sovereignty and independence, and protecting our constitutionally guaranteed rights. Tom, thanks for joining us.
It's good to be with you, Jim. Thank you.
Tom, we're going to get into some specifics today, but it seems like the attacks on the ag industry are on the increase. What's going on?
Well, as you said, climate change, sustainable, that's the word on everything. And we have an absolute attack on the way farmers are to grow their crops and their animals and so forth. And you have this attack on the small farmer by these global corporations that are going along with this whole thing. And I'll tell you what, you know, I've been working on a whole bunch of these issues for quite a while, and it seems like every single time I get into the issue, the first thing I find at the top is the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation in there. Bill Gates is involved in all of this, everything from the COVID lockdown, the vaccines, to what we eat in our farmland, and the climate capture pipeline, all of that. He's involved there in the middle of it. So,
Tom, so often we wonder why this is happening, and it's my opinion that the destruction of the ag industry, hence our food supply, is really the mission of one named John Kerry. I mean, he was appointed by President Joe Biden to be the U.S. Special Presidential Envoy for Climate. He does not believe, though, in my opinion, he doesn't believe what he's talking about, because he flies around the world on private jets to talk about what he calls harmful CO2 emissions. Well, in late July 2023, he was blasted by critics who accused him of trying to destroy the agriculture industry in order to achieve net zero emissions. Tom, I'm going to play this audio clip from John Kerry, and then we're going to have you comment. This is John Kerry as he attacks the ag industry.
Agriculture contributes about 33% of all the emissions of the world, depending a little bit on how you count it, but it's anywhere from 26 to 33. And we can't get to net zero. We don't get this job done unless agriculture is front and center as part of the solution. But with a growing population on the planet, we just crossed the threshold of 8 billion fellow citizens around the world. We just crossed that in this last year. Emissions from the food system alone are projected to cause another half a degree of warming by mid-century on the current course that we are today. A 2-degree future could result in an additional 600 million people not getting enough to eat. And you just can't continue to both warm the planet while also expecting to feed it. Doesn't work. So we have to reduce emissions from the food system to keep the 1.5 degrees alive. Why do we have to keep 1.5 degrees alive? Because scientists, as a basis of physics and mathematics, not ideology and politics or party labels or anything else, as a matter of physics and mathematics and some biology and chemistry, have told us these are the consequences. And we already see it happening. And almost everything they've predicted for 30 plus years now is coming true. But the problem is it's coming true faster and bigger than was in fact predicted.
Tom, I want to both laugh and cry at the same time when I hear these comments. I mean, the outrage is saying that all these climate scientists have talked, all these predictions are coming true, but they're coming true faster. Are these the same scientists who said our poles, you know, our ice caps were going to be melted by the year 2013?
Not a single word he said is true, is verifiable. The the whole idea of things are happening faster, it's a joke. You know, talk about like Al Gore, every time he's predicted that 10 years this is going to happen. Never happened. We're 30 years into it. Nothing ever happened. The polar ice caps are not melting. Climate change is not, there is no evidence of man-made climate change. He's talking about half a degree. You know, my temperature went up here in my yard today 20 degrees since the sun came out. You know, this is ridiculous. And we'll get into a little later about CO2, but CO2 does make it a little bit warmer, but what you end up with are crops growing. So having warm weather, sometimes it brings in more rain as well, and the crops are growing. They're not dying because of this.
Tom, a heat wave does not equate with climate change, does it?
No. Not at all. Not at all. And they are doing everything they can. We've had a very warm summer, and they're coming out with all these statistics that this is the hottest ever recorded. So it's not true. You can go back to the 1920s, the 1930s, and you find this kind of weather happening. It sometimes it's hot, sometimes it's cold, but the temperatures have shown over the last 18 years that we have not had any warming in that period of time. And before that, we had some warming. There were some sun storms that cause it. When there's sun flares, that causes more warming, and then it goes away. It's natural. But, everything they're saying, and he's talking about it increasing now, is ridiculous. And they're using this hot, warm summer we've had to make that claim.
Yeah.
And, my birthday is in April. Last April, not just past one, but the year before, it snowed on my birthday.
Never
happened before.
You know, Tom, I mean, and then he talked about agriculture contributes about 33% of the emissions of the world. And it kind of then he fudged those numbers just a little bit. Well, it depends on the study. Then he said 26 to 33%. And he said, we can't get to net zero. We don't get this job done unless agriculture is front and center as part of the solution. He is putting agriculture in his crosshairs.
Yeah. He talked about we'll have 600 million people that won't have anything to eat. Well, whose fault is that?
Right.
They're going to shut down all the farmers. What we have, I get reports every day from Europe who went along with this stuff much earlier than we did, and they are dying over there, and energy-wise, and the farm industry is being destroyed. We've heard about the Netherlands and what's happened there, and these sustainable programs are forcing them to cut back on the cattle herds 25 to 95%. They're taking their farms and they're saying we have to have this percentage to be open space for natural and you can't farm that. All of those things cost the farmer money and he can't survive. And what's happening across this country and around the world, but across this country, are thousands of independent small farmers going out of business. And what you have in the background are the corporations that are getting involved in all of this. They're eating those little farmers alive, and they have all other means of bringing money in and so forth, and they're taking that farmland, and they're absolutely taking control of our farming industry.
Tom DeWeese with us here today. We're talking about the agriculture industry being targeted. And, Tom, we've got so many things to put out on the table here. Tell us what's happening on the carbon capture pipeline front. I understand Governor Kristi Noem of South Dakota, who gives the impression she's for the people, she's for the ag industry, but she is a sole individual refusing to call a special session of the legislature to deal with this carbon capture pipeline and really the destruction of South Dakota farmland. What's happening on this front?
Yeah, there's been a lot happening. And, of course, the carbon capture pipeline, the idea is to save us from climate change, is to take CO2 and bury it in the ground. And they've got a 1,300-mile pipeline across five states. from Iowa to North Dakota, South Dakota, Minnesota, and Nebraska. And they have, they're taking farmland. They're trying to pressure farmers into signing easements to voluntarily give up their land so they can move this thing across there. And they keep claiming they've got 80% voluntary farmers have signed. That's absolutely not true. But they're using intimidation tactics now. These corporations, private corporations, Navigator, Summit, several of them pushing on this thing. And what they want to do is get the state governments to give them the power of eminent domain to take it. So you have a private corporation want to take private land to put a private operation in place. And so people are beginning to stand up. What's happening there in South Dakota, a farmer, Jared Billings, has been an outspoken critic of this, opposing the carbon capture pipelines. And Summit came on his property without his permission. And they were walking around in his office and various other things when he was out in the field, scared his wife to death. And they were walking around, and his wife called Jared out in the field and told him what was happening. He had a six-second conversation, which he recorded with her, and he said, well, we need to get the sheriff involved. And that was it. And Summit accused him of threatening the lives of their people on his property. Absolutely was not true. And then a couple of weeks later, they showed up with armed guards and monster-sized equipment that came across and damaged his soybean crop, his corn crop. They dug 90-foot holes into the ground, disturbing his land and so forth, would not allow him to even interact with them on his own property. And we know, I've been working on this for a long time, we know that one of the reasons for this was to intimidate him and other farmers to shut up and comply. The good news is it backfired. The farmers did not get intimidated by it. They went rushing into the state legislature, South Dakota, and demanded that they stand up and protect their property, protect their rights there. And this has shook up Summit a lot. They're getting worried. And people are starting to get organized across that state, across Iowa and North Dakota. Other things are happening, but
Let me share this from the AP, and this is what they're writing on this, and they're talking about a group of South Dakota lawmakers who have begun circulating a petition. Now, the governor has the ability to do it herself, but she is refusing. But they're writing this: the petition drive faces an uphill climb, needing the signatures of at least 2/3 of the membership of both the South Dakota House and Senate to succeed. While Republican Governor Kristi Noem could call a special session on her own, she said last week, which had been now a few weeks ago, that it would be fruitless unless lawmakers reach a consensus. She has the power, Tom, to call this special session, but she is trying to force a 2/3 vote of the membership to even bring one about.
Yeah, I was in South Dakota just a few weeks ago, and the impression I had of her that you hear nationwide was she's this really strong conservative governor. Every single person I talked to in South Dakota said exactly the opposite.
Tell you what, we'll come back with that after the break. Tom DeWeese is with us today as the agriculture industry is being targeted. Folks, we're talking about our nation's food supply, and there's more to come. Stay with us. You're listening to Crosstalk on the VCY America Network.
Back to Genesis with Dr. John Morris, scientist and creation researcher with the Institute for Creation Research. Dr. Morris, when we're looking at the evolutionary scale, what animals would be considered primitive?
Chris, mammals are thought to be more advanced on the evolutionary scale, although all animals are amazingly well designed. Insects are thought to be rather primitive, but research has shown that even butterflies, as they migrate across the ocean, have some sort of built-in magnetic sense which keeps them on course. They can correct their course even if blown off course by wind. Chris, even insects were created by an amazingly intelligent creator. There's nothing primitive about any form of life. Even single-cell life is complex. If it's living, it's complex. And it's been that way ever since, back in Genesis.
If you'd like to go back to Genesis, you can find us on the web at www.icr.org. For the Institute for Creation Research, I'm Chris O'Brien. Thanks for tuning in.
You're listening to Crosstalk on VCY America. Tom DeWeese is with us here today. He is from the American Policy Center, their website, AmericanPolicy.org, AmericanPolicy.org. And friends, the agriculture industry is being targeted right now. It's coming from the Biden administration. It's coming from environmental extremists. We are seeing this, the heavy hand of regulation that's being placed upon farmers, ranchers, those involved in the cattle industry. The heavy hand of government is coming upon them, the do's, the don'ts, and as a result, there are some who said, we just can't stay in business any longer. And that really is, every time that happens, when somebody gives up, it's crossing another line through the wish list of this administration. It's going on. Tom, we were just talking about South Dakota here, and the governor could, with a stroke of her pen, call the legislature into session to deal with this really harms the soils. When this pipeline goes in, you're disturbing these soils. And when you said they're digging, how many feet down?
It was 90 feet, and they couldn't explain why. Why did they dig down 90 feet? It was just to intimidate them. They just brought this big monster machine. I've got photographs of it.
My.
And just amazing.
So people do need to speak out, though, to their legislators in South Dakota, and even calls to the governor's office continue.
They did. They approached her. They approached the legislature. They brought in about 2,000 signed petitions demanding that they protect their private property rights. And they had a big rally there. And I heard that legislators were beginning to try to organize to do something about it. But Kristi Noem, when she had her inaugural party, it was in part paid for by Summit Carbon Solutions.
Oh, my.
And I've heard that she or someone in her family has bought into the pipeline financially.
Wow.
And so this is what you see. And here she is telling everybody what a great conservative she is to protect people's land and their property and everything. When Jared Bosley went up to her and asked her for her help, she said, I can't fight all your battles.
Wow, wow. We're talking about the farmland, the heartland of South Dakota. And friends, you can reach out to your legislator. We've got a lot of South Dakotans listening today, reaching out to your legislators, reaching out to the governor's office as well. We understand, Tom, there's a little different story in North Dakota.
Well, as these farmers rose up in South Dakota and really took action there and it was heard, North Dakota legislature took some action against Summit, and denied a route permit for the carbon capture pipeline. Now, Summit is saying that, well, this is just kind of a pause in what we're doing, but we're moving forward. The truth is they're scared to death because I've been advocating for the last year that if individual counties that were affected by this would start to pass legislation to protect property rights and do what it could to block this thing coming through, even five or six counties in the path would be a huge block. Now you've got a whole state that's denied the permit, and that's a huge step forward.
Tom, again, it's getting active on that local basis to the commissions, the county governments, the state supervisors or state representatives. That's really where that impact needs to be felt.
Absolutely. And this is what we've been talking about as I've traveled these states, what I call building a freedom pod in your own community. If you can stand up and pass legislation there, if you've got illegal legislation coming from the federal government or executive orders, the state governments and county governments and so forth can ignore that and stop it and refuse to enforce it. It's illegal. And so this is some things they need to know. Too many legislators at any of those levels are ignorant of what's happening. That's the sorry part here. You've got these non-governmental organizations, all of them part of the whole World Economic Forum and the UN and so forth, I've been warning about for years, that have been working to put this agenda in place. And they surround your local officials. And they have They've written up the policies. They have it all ready to go, and then they know exactly what grant to apply for to get it. Say, hey, got the money for you, too. Don't even have to think. It's right here. And eventually, your elected officials begin to think, well, this is just the proper role of government. The line they use is, everybody's doing it. That's just the way it is now. And the minute you hear that, it's a warning that your local people are playing ball with these guys, and they're not listening to you, the people who elected them.
Zero Hedge is reporting the global livestock industry supports the livelihoods, Tom, of 1.3 billion people. I mean, this is the fields, it's the farms, largely unseen from major cities. But we're talking about a devastating impact that these climate alarmists are trying to impact this world in never before seen ways. And our food supply is at the very heart of this. And we know that there is not giving up until this happens. And I know there are those who are pushing, well, we don't need these beef cattle any longer. We can create synthetic beef.
Yeah. The American cattle industry is now part of the Global Roundtable for Sustainable Beef. And the main organization that is behind this is the World Wildlife Fund. The World Wildlife Fund said, in order to save the planet, they said, meat consumption is devastating some of the world's most valuable and vulnerable regions due to the vast amount of land needed to produce animal feed. And so, you know, in other words, we need to get rid of beef. And here you get the beef industry. First of all, you have the people need to understand that the beef growers don't have a market. They have to bring their cattle to the packing companies. That's Tyson, Cargill, JBS, National Beef. There's only four of them. And they control the entire market. You talk about a monopoly. And they are part of this roundtable that's making these dictates on how the cattlemen are allowed to grow their product. And as I said earlier, cutting back on the size of their herds, cutting back on the amount of land they're able to use. It has to do with how they feed them, everything else. And then you find out that the National Cattlemen's Beef Association, the largest association representing the beef industry, is also part of this roundtable. And when I started to attack this and expose it, I spoke to cattle grower organizations across the country about this, and they responded with the most pathetic article I've ever seen entitled, Why Sustainable? And they said, oh, golly gee, these corporations or groups like World Wildlife Fund and stuff understand the answers to things, and consumers are looking for more answers. They're getting smarter about where their food comes from, and these people have the answer to it. So we need a place at the table so we can learn that. And I said to the New Mexico Cattle Growers Association, I said, you know, the cattlemen I knew in the past would have gone in and kicked over that table and said, get out. Yeah. Where are you? Stand up. But they're afraid. You know, it's an intimidation that goes all across the whole industry.
Tom DeWeese with us here today. Tom, I saw a story in the Epoch Times of a fellow named Jason Nelson, who's president and CEO of Whole Cows. It's based in Waco, Texas, and talks about there being a global war against the cattle industry. And now we understand that there is a push by state legislatures to allow companies to inject beef cattle with mRNA vaccines to protect against disease. The story says at least five states have now filed legislation opposed to this. But Mr. Nelson, he said that he's rejecting mRNA technology in beef cattle in both theory and practice. He has vowed to shutter his business as if any of his products contained even a trace of these pharmaceuticals. But there are, so this is just another attempt to impact or degrade our food supply.
Yeah, and that chemical can be passed to you as you eat that. That's why they're concerned about that. And, you know, this could take you right back to the whole, COVID vaccines and what's in there as well. It's the same kind of a situation. And that's why they're standing up against it and trying to stop that. But, and the other thing they did was they removed the nation of origin labeling, mm-hmm. where our food's coming from. And they're absolutely destroying the American cattle industry. They've already gone after the poultry industry and the hog industry and doing the same things there. And, there's no possible other conclusion that can come from all this is that we're going to run out of food. If you're not allowed to produce it, You know, where do they think it's coming from? The people running all this stuff, a lot of the NGO groups and so forth, are people who believe that their food comes from Safeway, you know?
Yeah, yeah. Well, and you mentioned poultry, Tom, and now we have Tyson Foods just announcing they're closing of 4 chicken processing plants. Places like North Little Rock, Arkansas, Croydon, Indiana, Dexter, Missouri, Noel, Missouri as well. But that's not going to help matters, is it?
No, it's not. And then you add to it, I mentioned Cargill as well. And Cargill, which is one of the 4 packing companies, they are also part of the World Economic Forum's New Vision for Agriculture, which is really all of these policies that we're talking about here. This is where it's coming from. You've got 17 global corporations, including Cargill, that are part of this. And it also includes Kraft Foods, General Mills, DuPont, Coca-Cola, you know, part of this. Yeah.
So are they not shooting themselves in the foot?
Well, what we're seeing here, I mean, first of all of this is an attack on free enterprise. You know, Klaus Schwab himself said the Great Reset was needed to overcome the inequities, the weaknesses of capitalism. And these corporations aren't worried about consumers anymore. They're not worried about that. They got money coming from other sources, and you know, they've got an agenda here.
Okay, so we still have China buying up land. Is that correct?
Yeah, still doing that. There is some alarm in Congress. They're looking into this, but we've got over 384,000 acres of U.S. farmland. That was from 2021, and from the Department of Agriculture. It's more than that now. It's increased, and these things have accelerated with the Biden cabal in place. All this stuff has accelerated, and when people start some of the legislators in Congress started to look into this and try to do something about this, and some of the state legislators in Texas and other places, China came out and said it was racist, that they're targeting Chinese people. Well, people have to understand, they are not people who are buying these corporations from China who are buying up this land. There's no free enterprise in China. There are no private corporations. Everything is controlled by the communist government. So there is a plan here. There's a direct result of that. And what you end up with then, as China owns more of that land, then they can support the efforts to, you know, the whole carbon capture thing, the spread of wind and solar over the farmland. So what they're really looking for, China gets 2 things out of this. One, they put the United States in a horrible position to even be able to defend itself. Second of all, they're using our land to grow food for their country where it's all failed over there. So those 2 things are things they gain by getting a hold of American land.
And stealing intellectual property. I just saw an article, too, on townhall.com. Sarah Arnold writing about a Chinese ownership of land has been an issue, but now farmers in Iowa reportedly accuse China of stealing seed samples from the U.S. that have been genetically modified to improve crops and reproduce those back home.
Absolutely. I mean, these people are insidious, and they're absolute criminals of what they're doing. But the thing is that you have all these global corporations working in cahoots with them.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, all of it. There's no one certain central place here. It's all over the place.
Well, friends, President Biden has, talked about and he's been pressured to call a global climate change emergency here in the United States to declare it because of global conditions. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, you're going to hear what he said just a week ago as he was at the Grand Canyon as it relates to a climate change national emergency. It's all tied into this topic we're discussing today about the agriculture industry being targeted. Stay with us, back in just 1 minute.
Cemeteries and mausoleums are evidence of the sad reality of death, and that each of us has a divine appointment with death. According to surveys, Americans overwhelmingly believe that heaven exists and believe that most are going there. A small number believes that hell exists, with only 0.5% believing they will go there when they die. What if those who do not believe in hell die one day and find they made a tragic and eternal mistake? In the book, Hell is for Real, author Gary Fraser discusses the separation, the suffering, and the sorrow of hell, along with future events that will unfold. There is much information given by movies, television, psychics, and even by many religious circles. Gary presents scriptural truth on this important topic. VCY is making available the book, Hell is for Real, as our way of saying thank you for your support of $15 or more. Two copies for a donation of $25. Just ask for it when you call 1-800-729-9829.
Your turn to Crosstalk on VCY America. Yes, the agriculture industry is being targeted. Folks, that means the food supply of our nation and, yes, even the world is being targeted as well. We are told how bad rice is and how that contributes to CO2. Well, friends, you know, the world lives on rice. And now we're talking about the lack of growth of, you know, of rice and the harvesting of rice. And so people are going hungry as a result. Well, we've been targeting it. Well, let's get to President Biden. Just a week ago, he was at the Grand Canyon, and shockingly, he said that he's already declared a national emergency in respect to climate change. Here is the interview as it happened, and you're going to hear a little comment because she asked a question, and he notices a bug on the report. He said, oh, you got a bug on you, and then comes back here to the statement, but let's listen in.
Are you prepared to declare a national emergency with respect to climate change?
We've already done that. We've conserved more land. We've moved into, we've rejoined the Paris Climate Accord. We've passed a $368 billion climate control facility. We're moving. It is the existential threat to humanity.
So you've already declared that national emergency?
Well, in the practice, you have a bug on it.
Oh, thanks. Appreciate it. So you've already declared that national emergency?
Practically speaking, yes.
Yeah.
Practically speaking, yet, you know, Tom, he's bugging you. I don't know if he was going to eat it or what, because we're supposed to eat bugs these days. But your response to what you heard there?
Well, it's just like talking, like Kerry talking. It's, you know, this is the
existential threat.
Existential threat to all life on Earth and everything. It's just not true. And what they have found here is the means. I've said this many times, that these guys are diabolical. They have found a way to get us to voluntarily give up our liberty by the threat of environmental Armageddon. Doesn't matter how many rights you think you have if you don't have a land to stand on. And this is the what's working for them, because people are voluntarily, you know, you hear sustainable, people's eyes just glaze over.
Mm-hmm.
And, well, we've got to do this for the planet. And, you know, the news media is not telling you the truth of what's going on here. And so it's very hard to find the facts in all this. But what you're going to find are the results of that. And that's what they're finding clear across Europe right now. And, you know, as their energy is drying up and their oil is gone and, you know, on and on and on, they're working to change every single aspect of our life, as we've been warning about. And with this agenda, and you know, cars, and you know, going to electric vehicles. I mean, the incredible hypocrisy here. We have there's an environmental organization in my county here in Virginia that controls nine different counties here. It's called the Piedmont Environmental Council. They have bumper stickers that they put out called "Farmland Lost is Farmland Lost Forever," and yet, all of these policies that they are putting in place, they are supporting them, not opposing them. And so that, you know, this is all just rhetoric and just to get you to, so you think everything's okay. But the truth of the matter is there is an agenda here out to absolutely destroy our society in every shape and form, and it's all climate change is behind all of it.
Yeah, and that brings the element of control. But, Tom, there's also a connection to the depopulation of our planet as well.
Yeah, and the interesting thing about that, I've known that since Agenda 21 came out in 1992, and as I've spoken about Agenda 21 for all these decades, I rarely mentioned that. And the reason was I was having enough trouble getting people to understand the threat to their property, and if I started saying, hey, they want to wipe out 7 billion people, get in line, I knew I would get nowhere with it, so I didn't really talk about it much. And it has become the center of what they're doing today. It's right out there in front.
Yeah, and again, you mentioned Bill and Melinda Gates before, and we've played the clips. You know, if we really do a good job at vaccinations, we'll be able to save lives and reduce the population at the same time. Tom, there's a couple other elements I'd like to bring in before we go to phone lines, and that is, as we talk about the agriculture industry being targeted, I'd like you to also talk about wind and solar as well.
Yeah, well, this is the drive to get rid of all of the other sources of energy, oil and gas and nuclear and everything is going to be wind and solar. To achieve that, first of all, a power plant that we have today, coal power plant, takes up a couple of acres, and it produces enough energy to, you know, keep Chicago running, for example. You know, we're talking here with wind and solar, millions of acres underneath these solar panels or the wind turbines. And these things, first of all, you're talking about taking crops and not being able to grow underneath them. So where are we going to grow the crops if all this is in there? They have to cut lots and lots of trees down to make room for all this in Scotland. They cut down something like 14 million trees to make room for their whole thing. Think about that in the U.S.
Yeah, in the name of environmentalism.
Exactly. Remember when we used to call the environmentalists tree huggers?
Yes.
I have said for three decades that the environmental movement is a lie. Well, watch the hypocrisy grow as they're doing this. They're putting in these solar panels. The solar panels need oil, copper, iron ore, limestone, steel, lithium, aluminum, graphite, cobalt, silicon, all of that, things that need to be mined and so forth, but we're not allowed to mine some of these things. What are they counting on? And the amount, if they have these...
Oh, haven't you heard, Tom? We can get them from China.
Yeah, absolutely. China is pushing us into all this, go back to them buying our land and getting us to do all this. Meanwhile, they are opening record numbers of coal mines.
Yeah. Friends, shake your heads on that one. Let's open some phone lines today, 800-733-9829. Your questions or brief comments for Tom DeWeese here today, 800-733-9829. Many of you are living this nightmare, really, in places like South Dakota, places like Iowa, and see the challenges that are taking place. But certainly the agriculture industry, the heartland of America, here through the Midwest in particular, and we see what is taking place. Our number 800-733-9829. Tom, I know you write articles, you send out emails, and how is it that our listeners can get engaged with what you're doing at American Policy?
Well, you can go to our website, and you can there's a place for you to send me emails from there and stuff. Let me know what I'm doing around as I travel the country. Is I'm working with local activists. This is where we fight on the local level. We've got to get your city councils, we've got to get your county supervisors and your state legislatures to stand up to this. You're not going to have the impact trying to go through Congress. We're not big enough. But we've already seen that we're having an impact on the local level in this carbon capture pipeline fight. And I call it building a freedom pod, focusing on your community, and we've got a manual on how to do that, and I'm working on trying to get many more tools to help people to organize and fight back. We've got to do it from there.
AmericanPolicy.org. Our lines are packed. We're going to begin with Ralph in South Dakota. Go ahead, Ralph.
Bear with me. I have a number of comments all dealing with the pipeline. Number one, the governor did not call a special session, and I guess partially in her defense, maybe, I think what she was saying was, if we don't have the votes on a bill, why call a special session? But she could be, after the session is called, get on the phone and persuade the Senate, I think, is the holdup, because it had passed in the regular session in the House.
Let me just mention this. Ralph, one moment. To get the legislature together, though, to get a special session, you need 67% of the legislature to be in favor of it. Whereas if she would sign it and a bill would go out there, you only need 51% to pass it.
Right. So sold, but I'm not sure where it's at now, but I don't know if they would get 50% in the Senate, because there are some real hardheads in the Senate, I will just tell you that. And so that's that comment. And then also, I think Tom said the legislature in North Dakota had denied the permit. That was actually their, I think they call it Public Services Commission. But the vote was 3-0 to deny the permit. Mm-hmm. And then another comment I had, you know, I just recently saw our Senator Rounds had said that he thinks CO2 is a commodity and that he thinks that that's the way the courts will rule. Well, you've got these politicians that just, I mean, there's no common sense anymore.
Yeah.
But what is driving this, the more I study it, I think, is it's basically government money. You know, Biden bragged that, oh, he's done more for climate change than any other president. And it's just, I can't believe how money just corrupts people and drives them to do stupid things.
Ralph, thank you for the call. We've got many lined up behind you here, but Tommy's made several points here.
Well, he's actually right on those things. And it was the regulators in North Dakota, not the legislature, that passed this.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why they say it's, you know, kind of a pause, that they can push their way through it. But it is a start, and it was a big victory.
Yeah.
And we've got to build on that. But we've got to keep the pressure up. And it's true. I've learned, too, about in South Dakota. He's absolutely right about the hardheads there and people there. I mean, these corporations are pushing out money as hard as they can to buy their way into this thing. We've got to put the pressure on ourselves. One of the problems I've run into over all these years in trying to get people to organize is that we aren't there. And so these other guys are all the time. We've got to turn that around, and then we can fix it.
Thank you for the call. Let's go to another South Dakotan. Wayne calling from Gregory, South Dakota. You're on the air.
Hi, thanks. Tom, you may know this. Not too many people probably do. I found out, I can't trace this down, but from what I've read, in the early 50s, the United States Department of Agriculture, an internal document was made public through the Freedom of Information Act, that the Department of Ag wanted their goal was to reduce the number of family farms in America in the next 30 years, from the 50s into the 80s, reduce the number of family farms. Mm-hmm. And this proves that, you know, our government, and being a lifelong farmer myself, you'd think the Department of Agriculture is the segment of our government's helping us. And this proves they've been working against us since way back then. And Kissinger stated one time, you know, control oil, banking, and food, and you'll control the people. One other quick comment. You talked about intellectual theft that they've been guilty of, China.
Mm-hmm.
Syngenta is a huge United States seed company, and it was sold to China.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I mean, yeah, our government has been, it's evident for people who want to pay attention, our government has been working against farmers in particular and against our constitutional rights, and the bottom underlying goal through all this is world government, you know?
Yeah.
So,
thank you.
Anyway, that's my comment. Thank you for your time.
And that's what Agenda 21, Agenda 2030 is all about, Tom, surrendering our sovereignty, and we just give everything to the UN, the World Economic Forum. They've got everything under control.
Absolutely. And what he's mentioning about, you know, the Department of Ag, clear back in the 50s, what Agenda 21 was, what all these things were out there, piece and parts and different things, it was a culmination. It brought it all together into one fist. And, that's why it became so notable. Because all those things that have been worked on for years suddenly were in one place. And, absolutely true.
Tom's website is AmericanPolicy.org. We're going to take a quick 60-second break. We'll come right back to the phone call. So Mark, Barry, Benny, others, stay on the line. We'll be with you here shortly. You're listening to Crosstalk on VCY America. Our topic today, agriculture industry being targeted. We'll be right back.
For the Worldview Report, I'm Brandon House. Our website is worldviewreport.com. The other day I saw a video from overseas, and it showed an individual not even able to enter the grocery store until they had scanned a QR code and proved that they were registered, digitally registered. And my mind immediately went to the passage in Revelation chapter 13 where no one will be able to buy or sell without the mark of the beast. Now, this is not the mark of the beast system yet, but I do believe the system is coming into focus very quickly. In fact, I believe it's very probable the whole system will be in place when the Antichrist arrives, but it will not be the mark of the beast until he arrives and is declared such, and everyone who takes it will know they're doing it, not only to buy and sell, but ultimately to worship the Antichrist. Can you imagine the state of the world that looks for a savior that's willing to worship a man? Let's not be deceived.
This is Crosstalk on VCY America. Friends, I would encourage you, as this program will be posted within just a couple hours on our website, send links to others. You can download it, listen free, crosstalkamerica.com. Check it out and share the information you've learned with others. If you do need a CD hard copy to cover our duplication and postage expense, we do ask for a donation of $6 for a CD. If you'd like that, you can reach out to our switchboard at 1-800-729-9829. Let's go to Mark in Olney, Illinois. Mark, you're on the air.
Hey, thanks for another good program. Yeah, I just wanted to say the CO2 capture stuff has been going on here in Illinois for, I'd say, 12 to 15 years. They went through at least four counties, and it keeps getting pushed down. But I know the county we had land in, it was almost a go, and I went to the town hall meeting and spoke up and spoke to my table, and finally got them to realize this is a bad deal. But talking about your tree thing, I says, you're going to pipe CO2 from four power plants to our county, and you're concerned about nature. How many trees are you going to take down? Oh, we won't harm a single tree. Yeah. We're putting in hundreds of miles of pipe. And wow. The other curious thing, if you want to be a conspiracy person, every field they went to here in Illinois was an oil field, and they had total rights of everything 10,000 feet and below. So what happens if something happens to that gas? Are they going to stop the oil production because the CO2 might leak?
Wow.
You know, there's a whole bunch of scenarios there. But every field, they went through four to five counties, and they're all in oil patches. And the other thing is, you know, the river thing. Clinton administration took possession of all rivers here in our county. One of our creeks became a river. And so now the federal government controls the watershed.
Yeah. Mark, thank you for that. You've raised a lot of issues. We're short on time. Go ahead, Tom.
Yeah, well, these carbon capture pipelines are moving across the country, and you know, there's a real drive to put more and more of those in place. And this is not the same as an oil pipeline. They're much, much more dangerous. If you have an oil pipeline leak, if it ruptures, you clean it up. But these carbon capture pipelines emit the CO2 out. It robs you of oxygen. Your cars won't run. They had this happen in Mississippi, and people are still suffering mentally from what happened there in this one community. This is a very dangerous thing, and they're trying to run these pipelines within several feet of people's homes.
Hi. Thank you, Mark. Let's go to Benny in Stockton, Missouri. You're on the air.
Yes. That guy just about got on to my topic. I used to drill oil, gas, and water wells, mainly water wells. What happens with the rupture? And I think whenever it does rupture, I think that it is designed to possibly go into the water strata and mess it up, not just on the surface side, but our drinking water and the water aquifer.
Tom?
Yeah. They leave no stone unturned here with this agenda, what they're trying to do, and absolutely control everything, and none of it is good for us. So I think you're right that those are possibilities.
A rupture would not be a good thing at all. Barry in Tennessee, you're on the air.
Yes, the key word that we've mentioned, it's been mentioned time and time again during the conversation with everybody pretty much, is called control. And that's exactly what they don't care a flip about the environment and such. It's all about control of the people. You know, as it goes, control the fuel, you control the nation, you control the food, you control the people. That's the bottom line.
It is, Tom. It's so what we eat, if we eat, what we eat, you know, what we drive, you know, how far we can go, just item after item, it really is about control.
They don't call it the Great Reset for nothing.
Mm-hmm.
There's a reason for all of that. And, you know, Klaus Schwab's daughter actually made the comment that with the Great Reset coming out of what they found with the COVID lockdowns, and there was simply a precursor for coming climate lockdowns, and that's what we're seeing happen here. They're using those same exact tactics to lock us down and make us all compliant.
Brad in West Dallas, Wisconsin, you're on the air.
Hey, Brother Jim. These lefty politicians with their corruption are beginning to make Nero and Caligula look like pikers. This guy can't even confront these government invaders trespassing on his land, crushing his crops, and digging 90-foot holes. That's vandalism. This is the guy's home and his livelihood. I tell you what, God says, there's going to come a time when people will believe the lie. And if they'll believe this climate change fairy tale, they'll believe anything.
Yeah, yeah. And thank you, Brad. Tom, one of the ways in which people are believing this is because they're being frightened. You know, they're being told things to frighten the people. And when we have a frightened people, it allows us to bring about that control.
Oh, yeah, you're much more easily subjugated then and led around. And that's why I was so excited about what was happening in South Dakota with Jared's situation, because the people didn't get intimidated. They stood up and they demanded action. And we've got to do much more of that. One thing we can't do is go do that one day and then go home. We have got to keep the pressure on, and they've got these legislators and so forth have to know we're not going away, so you better fix it. You were elected by the people to represent them, not global corporations.
And I also saw here, Tom, we're also trying now to capture carbon from the air. VOA News, this is an agency, or France Press, the U.S. government said here recently, last Friday, it will spend up to $1.2 billion for two pioneering facilities to vacuum carbon out of the air, a historic gamble on a still-developing technology to combat global warming that's criticized by some experts. We're going to vacuum the air.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah. What's that going to take?
You know, so much of this is just so nonsensical, Tom. But that's the time in which we're living. And one of the things you're trying to do at American Policy is to inform and to awaken people to what's going on.
We are. I mean, we've been putting out on our website, there's a 30-year archive of articles we've written about all this stuff from clear back then. And I'm not happy to say this, really, but we've been right all along. Everything we've been saying all these years, it's coming out. And I've jokingly said, they tell me that I'm a conspiracy theorist, and I'll say, you know, I'm not clever enough to make all this kind of stuff up. All I've ever done is quote them. And if it sounds nuts, it's because they are.
Because you're quoting them. Wow.
Yep.
And as a person said, I need some more conspiracy theories because all the ones that I had before have come true.
There you go.
Tom DeWeese with us today, AmericanPolicy.org. Tom, thank you for carving time out to join us on this very important topic.
Well, thank you for getting this out there. Your audience is wonderful.
And you are optimistic.
I am. I'm seeing us starting to stand up. They've pushed us too far.
Friends, thank you for joining us here today on Crosstalk. Again, the website, AmericanPolicy.org. Thanks for listening.
You've been listening to Crosstalk via satellite and the Internet from VCY America. Views expressed may or may not be those of this station. For a CD of today's program, send a donation of $6 or more to VCY Tape Ministry, 3434 West Kilbourne Avenue, Milwaukee, Wisconsin, 53208. Or download by RSS or podcast from CrosstalkAmerica.com. And join us again for Crosstalk.